Welcome back to Voices from the Front Lines. This is on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. As we speak, President Bush is in Guatemala, marking the fifth day of his visit to Latin America, which has been met with mass protests and marches. We're joined by freelance journalist and reporter Michael Fox, who joins us today from Uruguay. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you so much.
Well, Michael, I've been reading so many things, you know, about this trip, and it reads like a telenovela on one hand, you know, where you have Bush and President Chavez in many ways jockeying for the future of Latin America. You have indigenous shamans saying that they're gonna go cleanse, you know, the temples the day after Bush goes and visits the temple. You have certain like controversies around what will be Lula da Silva's position in Brazil or President Vasquez in Uruguay. How has it been on the ground? For folks who don't know, Michael Fox is a writer for Venezuelan Analysis, right? Or what was a former writer for Venezuelan Analysis and has been in Latin America for a good chunk of time, and right now he's currently in Uruguay. How was it on the streets in Uruguay?
It was, it was exciting. It was powerful. There was a march that actually started last Tuesday. So this is even before Bush even started his trip. And it was a march of housing cooperativistas here in Uruguay who marched from Montevideo to Anchorena, which is the presidential state where Bush met with Uruguayan President Tabaré Vázquez on Saturday. 200 kilometers, 3 or 4 days, really powerful. Bush arrived into town on Friday night around 9:30. Just before he came into town, there was two large marches, one by the main union, the central union here in Uruguay, FUCMAN, the housing cooperativistas, as well as the student union, a bunch of other folks. The other one, more radical, and the other one was actually not just against President Bush, but also against the Frente Amplio leftist coalition that's in power here, which is something else we can talk about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been completely monopolized all over the news. Bush is coming to town. Chavez is across the river. Oh my gosh. And it's all anybody's been talking about for about a week and a half. So it was really exciting. To some extent, however, you know, you had a lot of people in the streets. It was powerful. A lot of people got out and said, this isn't right. This doesn't represent me. And we don't stand for, you know, U.S. imperialism. And we can't even have this guy come here. It was difficult, though, especially when you look at the Frente Amplio coalition that's in power. They're a leftist coalition that's been in power for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. They organized since, like, 1971. You had the Communist Party, Socialist Party, and Christian Democrat parties all came together, and they had a radical leftist platform of agrarian reform. We're going to make a democratic revolution, was the idea. And over the many years of them organizing, gaining more power, obviously at the beginning underneath a 12-year dictatorship in which many people were tortured or exiled, you had them come out of this dictatorship and start to kind of institutionalize a little bit more to try and get their votes. So over the many years, they're now in power. They came to power 2 years ago with huge hope from a lot of people in Uruguay. You know, a lot of people just say, well, they're just kind of reformists. They've been doing some things in terms of human rights. There have been many advances. The economy is stable. But in terms of actual progressive revolutionary moves, agrarian reform, you just haven't seen it. And so a lot of their base is pretty upset. But, yeah, it's definitely been exciting. It's definitely been exciting.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been watching, you know, religiously Spanish news and here in the States, and been reading everything that the people sent out about this trip. And, you know, I think you're raising some really interesting questions about Uruguay. And, you know, again, the Frente Amplio, in many ways, people had been very excited about the move of, you know, a real divide between, you know, sort of Latin American calling for a different path than what Washington had for them. And the Frente Amplio and the taking of power in Uruguay seemed to be a very, you know, central aspect of it. And I know it's a complicated, to me, it's not, you know, sort of, I mean, I'm not there on the ground, but I'm assuming it's not also black and white between the Frente Amplio's completely has gone away. Because I know I was reading, like, you know, Jose Mujica, who's a very important leader, was saying, hey, man, if I wasn't part of this government, I'd be out in the street. And other folks from the Frente, like Enrique Rubio, said he was going to join, you know, some of the conventions and marches out there. One of the main discussions that was going to happen in Uruguay was the discussion of either a free trade agreement between the United States and Uruguay, which was going to be a major setback in many ways, because that's exactly what people have talked about, you know, free trade with the United States sort of as a backward idea. And here Uruguay in some ways was talking about it. And second, it seemed that the United States also was trying to push the production of cellulose so they can move forward on sort of these biofuels, just the same agreement that Bush was trying to reach with Lula da Silva in Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's interesting, and like you said, you hit the nail right on the head. It's completely complicated. You've got a tiny country that's, you know, trying to survive in a market, Mercosur. They've got Brazil, which is huge, just above it, and Argentina, which is giant, just beneath it, and Venezuela, which calmed in, and Venezuela is helping Uruguay within this region. But the integration that Uruguay was hoping, kind of based on the European model of, okay, let's bring the smaller economies up and let's help these smaller countries, isn't happening as quickly as Uruguay would hope. You've got a lot of people, Frente leaders, including Enrique Rubio, for instance. We interviewed him a couple weeks ago, and he basically said, no, there's really no way for Uruguay to insert itself in the international market without talking with the United States. At the same time, obviously, you have people who have fought for years against the United States, who, beneath the dictatorship, you had torture and repression that was U.S.-backed. You had police officials from the United States who came here to teach the Uruguayan officers how to torture. And the Uruguayan people realize this. They know this. So it's a complicated issue. And Bush's arrival here kind of, you know, in its announcement about a month ago just, you know, broke things apart. You had Mariana Arizmendi, who's the Minister of Social Development and a member of the Communist Party, who said Bush's represents one of the largest militarists and mass murders there are in the world. And then you had Danilo Astori, which is the Minister of Economy, who's come out, and he's really one kind of pushing for a free trade agreement. Right now, you're not going to see a free trade agreement with the United States. U.S. and Uruguay signed a TIFO, which is a trade and investment framework agreement. They signed it in late January. And the idea is, okay, we're going to sign this agreement, we're going to take steps towards a possible free trade agreement at some point, but they realize that the base of Frente Amplio is completely against any sort of free trade agreement that's going to open up completely all Uruguayan markets. However, at the same time, they realize that, you know, if you can get your beef into the U.S. market without having to pay taxes, the amount of beef you can sell to the United States, it's already, Uruguay is a tiny country. Exports are around $4 billion. And $4 billion a year, and the most of the exports, the U.S. is Uruguay's number one leading trading partner. Mm-hmm. And there's about $1.8 billion in exports that go to the U.S. So it's, you know, it's already a substantial sum. But that's really what they're kind of going after. And it was interesting you brought up Mujica, because I was just reading in the paper today that he came out afterwards. You know, Bush left yesterday, he headed to Colombia, and Mujica came out and said, you know, I think this is a really important meeting. I'm glad that he came. Obviously, this is the same guy who was tortured during the dictatorship, but he is now the Minister of Agriculture and realizes, you know, at least for Uruguay, that, hey, man, if we can get four times as much beef into the U.S. market, then, you know, then we're that much better off. So it's really, really complicated. Obviously, you know, a free trade agreement with U.S. would completely push Uruguay into the same dependence it's felt for the last 500 years of colonialism. And yet Uruguay is right now sitting around going, okay, what do we have? We have software. Bush mentioned the other day on Saturday, he's like, Uruguay has blueberries. You've got lambs. That's good. Uruguay has part of the Guarani Aquifer, which is this one of the largest aquifers in the world, which is located here in South America, which is important. But there's not much that they've got to be able to trade and to be able to, you know, try and push the economy. So it's a hard issue.
In some ways, I feel like we're shortchanging you because we got a couple more minutes left on the show. Obviously, I think you're raising a lot of questions around viability of a country's sort of internal market, at times very weak, and obviously given colonialism and U.S. imperialism, very week and sort of your 2-minute version of the story, how do you see the integration of Latin America? Because in some ways, Chavez really is providing sort of that alternative link where I think even Bush, with all his sort of smiley face about what he could try to do for the poor of Latin America, his model has failed. And what do you see as the possibility of unity inside Latin America of all these countries who are moving more to the left?
Completely. And I'm trying to sum it up here. Latin American integration, 1.5 minutes. Essentially, I mean, the plan, the Chavez's plan that he's already, you know, signed in with Cuba and with Evo Morales in Bolivia in terms of ALBA, the Bolivar and Alternative for the Americas, which is kind of stands against the free trade area of the Americas, which is U.S. backed and very pushed free trade. This other kind of trade agreement, trade deals, the People's Trade Agreement of the Americas, which they've also talked about between Bolivia and Venezuela and Cuba. They're different models. You know, the idea of free trade is let's open up all of our markets and there's no subsidies and let everybody compete freely, which means that the big guys are always going to win. This other one says, you know what, let's help, let's work together. Let's not compete, but let's actually cooperate. You know, Venezuela, we've got these things, you all need these things, but we know that you don't need these things, and this is going to ruin your, you know, the production of your local campesinos, so we're not going to send corn, we're not going to try and produce more corn to shove it on your market, but we're going to buy the things that you maybe don't have a market for, and try and work together. The other idea is not just using this for money-wise, it's also, for instance, what Venezuela and Cuba are doing in terms of, okay, Venezuela says, all right, well, we've got this much petroleum. We've got plenty of petroleum. You all have Cuban doctors. So let's do some sort of trade here and help raise up both of our societies, not just economically, but also health and also socially and across the board.
Michael, human rights. Why don't you give us a way to get a hold of you and people could read your stuff, which I think, you know, it's really good stuff about Latin America. How can
that
people get a hold
fantastic.
Of you?
That sounds fantastic. Number one, VenezuelaAnalysis.com. Mm-hmm. I'm a freelance journalist. I write for them. VenezuelaAnalysis with one A there in the middle, .com. It's excellent. It's probably the best source on Venezuela in English you're going to find. The other thing to go to, check out Radio Mundo Real, realworldradio.fm. It's a site. It's down here in Uruguay. They're just starting to promote their stuff, and it's kind of a center point for lots of different community radios to be able to get their information out there.
Well, Mike, I promise to have you on the show because I think this is a real important discussion. You can find Michael Fox writing at Venezuela Analysis. And thank you, Michael, for being on the show. Today's show, that's the end of today's show, Voices from the Frontline. And I'm this Manuel Criollo. I'd like to thank our guests, Felipe Aguirre, Emma Lozano, and Michael Fox. Today we had music from The Dramatics, This is Aretha Franklin. We have music from Maldita Vecindad and Stevie Wonder. We'd like to thank our producer, Alan Minsky, our production assistant, Lisa Adler, and our engineer, Magula Peak. We'll see you next week. We're from Voices from the Front Lines. Up next is Beneath the Surface with Susie Wiseman.